You are listening to a Sunday sermon from St. Thomas Episcopal Church in Bellevue, Washington. We are a community that seeks God's presence, serves Christ and others, and grows together in faith. Welcome to our podcast. The following sermon was preached on the third Sunday after Pentecost, June 5th, 2016, by the Reverend Lex Breckenridge, rector at St. Thomas.
The Holy Gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ, according to Luke.
Glory to you, Lord Christ.
Soon after healing the centurion slave, Jesus went to a town called Nain, and his disciples and a large crowd went with him. As he approached the gate of the town, a man who had died was being carried out. He was his mother's only son, and she was a widow. And with her was a large crowd from the town. When the Lord saw her, he had compassion for her and said to her, "Do not weep." Then he came forward and touched the bier, and the bearer stood still. And he said, "Young man, I say to you, rise." The dead man sat up and began to speak, and Jesus gave him to his mother. Fear seized them all, and they glorified God, saying, "A great prophet has risen among us, and God has looked favorably on his people." This word about him spread throughout Judea and all the surrounding country. The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, Lord Christ.
No one likes to think about death. It's a topic we would all rather avoid. Yet it's the case that so much of the destructive behavior we engage in arises from a fear of death and an avoidance of that fear. We medicate that fear with alcohol or drugs or overeating or shopping or sex or you name it. The unspoken and unrecognized fear of death is a powerful motivating factor in our lives. But death is finally unavoidable. You know, death and taxes, right? So because we can't avoid death, instead of running away from it and pulling the covers over our heads, what if we actually turned and faced death, confronted death, our deaths and the deaths of those we love, and see whether death has anything to teach us? One thing we might say about death is that it creates a time boundary for us, the ultimate time boundary. And time boundaries are generally a good thing. We need something to push up against. We need limits to keep us on track. I know that if I didn't have deadlines to meet, I'd get a lot less work done. Many of us, like me for example, had the experience in school of getting pretty darn focused when final exams were to begin the next day. We can all think of other examples of how pushing up against a deadline or a time boundary pulls us into the immediate moment, whether it's at work or school or socially. I know I've often had the experience of Zani and me dressed to go out in the evening to someone's home for dinner and having 10 or 15 minutes together before it's time to leave. And that becomes wonderful, intimate, focused time to visit and to talk. And it's because we know it won't last. We're up against a time boundary. Now, all this may remind you of the mordant wit, Dr. Samuel Johnson, the famous British writer and lexicographer. Writing in 1777 about a hanging that was to take place shortly, he said to his biographer and friend, James Boswell, the following immortal line: "Depend upon it, sir, when a man knows he is to be hanged in a fortnight, it concentrates his mind wonderfully." Living realistically in the face of our own deaths, and die we will, let us never forget, brings us into the present moment. And it's always in the present moment. And I would venture to say it is only in the present moment. that we will meet God. The one who breathed life into us, the one who calls us by name, the one who leads us forward into the great adventure of ordinary living. I'll share with you my own very recent experience of coming into reality about death. In this case, my own death. It was on a Friday in early March that Zani and I met with a very capable physician's assistant at Group Health, who a few days previously had by chance discovered an enlarged lymph node in my neck. She had ordered various diagnostic tests, and as she explained to Zani and me that these tests showed that I had throat cancer, I felt an eerie sense of irreality. Cancer? Me? I feel great. This can't be. But it was. By the next day, a Saturday, it had really begun to sink in. I had cancer, and I was going to die. The when of my death wasn't quite known yet. I mean, there were other doctors to see, tests to be run, options to explore, and Zani had been diligently searching the internet and was discovering that the kind of cancer I apparently had was probably treatable. But there were all kinds of variables and possibilities that made the when of my death pretty well unknown at that point. So I remember going out on that Saturday evening to our little back patio and sitting on a stone bench. The light was receding that early spring evening. A breeze rustled the leaves in the maple trees. And I had an overwhelming sense of the beauty and sweetness of life. An overwhelming feeling of love for my darling wife, my kids and my grandkids. An overwhelming sense of gratitude for my wider family and my friendships stretching across the miles and the years. An overwhelming sense of gratitude for work that I love and that calls forth the best from me. I was in that moment of being confronted with my own death, more thankful for the life that God had granted me than ever before. It was truly a moment of transcendence. A moment when I was so clearly in the presence of Jesus. Jesus who was calling me by name. Jesus who was letting me know that in the midst of death, there was hope for life. Jesus was there. And that moment seemed eternal. Now that's what the good people of Nain recognized when Jesus raised the widow's boy to life. In the midst of death, there is always hope for new life. You know, her son's death was a double blow for this widow. Not only was she losing her only child, a loss that any parent knows is among the most devastating events imaginable, she was also losing her only way to live without being completely destitute. Without a man in her life, life was not going to be possible. And so Jesus, filled with compassion, we're told, steps into the midst of death and calls forth life. Young man, I say to you, rise. The dead man got up and began to speak, and Jesus gave him to his mother. Did you know that Luke's gospel contains 22 healing stories? That's the most of any of the gospel narratives. And maybe it's because Luke himself, as we're told, was a physician. And so he had a particular interest in Jesus' healing ministry. I also think it's because Luke, foremost among all the gospel writers, hears Jesus saying to his friends over and over, "The kingdom of heaven is in your midst. The kingdom of God is among you." In the person of Jesus, the kingdom is here. Not far off in the future, not after the death of the physical body. No, the kingdom is here. The kingdom is now. That's why the people in Nain that day glorified God and said, "God has looked favorably on his people." In the midst of death, Jesus offered hope for new life. So yes, we're all going to die. And I want to say that's a good thing. I mean, what would it be like if this part of the journey went on forever? I mean, would you go on forever as your 18-year-old self, or as your 35-year-old self, or your 75-year-old self, or your 95-year-old self? You know, what would that really be like? I think when we fantasize about immortality, we don't really take into account what it would really be like. God knows I don't want to go on as my 64-year-old self. I've been taking good enough care of myself. So it's good that we have a time boundary. And death gives us that necessary, that essential time boundary that allows us to truly know the sweetness and the richness of this life. And in the midst of the sweetness and the richness of this life stands Jesus. So, my dear sisters and brothers, on this day, Jesus offers us an invitation into a new way of living, just as he did long ago to the good widow and her friends in Nain. Death, our own deaths, are not the end of the story. The story continues. This is only a chapter in a book that continues on until the end of the age. So we can live now, we can live in this moment in confidence and hope. And we can live in this moment in appreciation and gratitude for the goodness and the sweetness of this life, this one life that we've been given. You've heard it said from this pulpit before that the words, "Do not be afraid," are spoken 365 times in the Bible. That's one time for every day of the year. In Nain that day, Jesus showed the crowd that the ultimate source of our fear, death, was not to be feared. Do you see how liberating that is? So go live your life. Live it for all it's worth. Go out from here on this beautiful spring day and revel in the glory of creation. Soak it all in. Glorify God. And do not be afraid. Amen.
For more information about St. Thomas Episcopal Church, please visit our website, www.stthomasmedina.org. That's www.stthomasmedina.org.